session number 246102, reel 2.
Mr. Guess, reel 2. We were talking about your time at Blenheim Camp, Bury St Edmunds, April 52 onwards.
April 51, I'm sorry.
April 51, sorry.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how you won the Stickman at a firepit. Tell us about that.
There would be, I think, seven fire pickets, in fact, on parade, parading under a second lieutenant. And probably a corporal or lance corporal as corporal of the guard. And the smartest man on parade got the honour of being stickman. And in theory, you carried the officer's stick about and you were excused duty all night. So you didn't patrol the camp as the others did. And I was fortunate enough to be the smartest man on parade, and I got stickman after I was about 5 weeks into my training.
So what did you have to do as stickman that night then? I mean, obviously, if you didn't, you know.
Well, you really didn't do anything, but you were prepared if you were called out, but it never ever happened. And it was rather funny in actual fact. I got this stickman, and my boots were balled up, my bayonet scabbard was shiny. Uniform was pressed, hat badge shining, buckles shining, etc., etc. Creases in your trousers and all that sort of thing. All your kit, the belt and gaiters blankoed up. And anyway, I was walking back to the hut, and there was a hut near us. I don't know, two away, I suppose, where they'd just had a new intake in, and they'd been in about 2 or 3 days. And I walked past, I saw this face in the window, chap named George Adams, and he came from our village of Stopsley. I thought, Christ, I'll go and have a word with him. So I walked in, and I could sense there was 28 pairs of eyes all looked at me as I walked in the door. And I walked up and I said, "Hello, George." "Hello, Bob." He said, "Jesus Christ, I'll never bloody look like that." But he did. I mean, you know, he buckled under, he cleaned his boots, he pressed his uniform, and we all got to, be pretty... I mean, we were a real cosmopolitan lot, but we all mucked in together. And
now, tell us, where did they all come from? I mean, you know, what sort of background and whereabouts in the country?
Well, let me see. There was Ivan Holland. He came from Crowland in Lincolnshire. There were lads from Norfolk. All the Norfolk Beckles, Bungie in Suffolk, and some from Bedford, and two or three from Luton. A chap named Miles from Luton. There was another chap named Miles. He actually came from a fairground. His father used to run a boxing booth. So, you know, we were a pretty, pretty mixed bunch. But I will say, they were all pretty honest. I mean, I could... If I took some... I never had much change in my pockets, but if I took some change out of my pockets and a packet of cigarettes and some matches and threw them on my bed and I was called out, I'd come back and they'd still be there. Nobody would take them. You know.
I'll come back to how you got on well, but what about the way you a typical day ran? You know, and we'll pick up the sorts of training.
Well,
what time would your day start?
About 6 o'clock in the morning. And you get up and have a wash and shave, tidy yourself up. Depending on if it's an ordinary training day, you'd either wear denims or you'd wear your second best uniform. I should think the first parade, you went to cookhouse obviously and had your breakfast.
Now, let me ask about food then. Food? All of the food you got while we're on it.
Yeah.
What was the food like and how did you...
Sorry. Yeah. Well, it was pretty basic fare, really, because we were still on rations at that time, although it didn't affect the army too much, but the food was fairly basic. We used to get meat and two or three veg at dinner time in the evening. Breakfast would be porridge, bread and a cube of butter, perhaps a bit of jam. Bacon and egg. The eggs were peculiar eggs, really. I mean, they were cooked on a bain-marie, you know, which is a big dish of boiling water and a tin on the top, and the eggs would be broken onto some gelatinous fat, and they would slowly congeal over this hot water. They're not like eggs as mum would make, you know. But yeah, basically not too bad. And I'm trying to think what we used to do at lunchtime.
Would that be your main meal?
No, that was breakfast time. No,
sorry, I mean lunch. Would be
the main meal would be in the evening, which would be meat and two veg. And I think lunchtime would probably be something like bread and jam, perhaps a bit of cheese or peanut butter or something like that, you know.
Was there enough food for you?
I think so, yeah. Obviously, we used to augment it with bars of chocolate and that sort of thing. But when you're only getting 29 and 6 a week, and it used to cost a pound return to come to Luton on the train, because obviously, like most youngsters, we used to smoke. There wasn't a lot of money left over to supplement your rations, you know.
Now after your breakfast, the parade.
Yeah.
What about drill generally? How did you take to drill? And what did you
Very do? Well, because before I went into the army, as I said, I was always on the go, very active, and I was in the Church Lads Brigade, and of course that is sort of slightly military, so I learned how to march. I could about turn, you know, with the best of them sort of thing, learn how to come to a halt and keep a fairly straight line, and I used to take quite an active part in the physical training. And as I got older, up into about 13, 14, 15, I used to actually teach box work and horse work to the youngsters, you know, to bring them on.
Yeah. So drill was all right?
Drill was okay, yeah, it didn't worry me at all. And we soon gelled together and became quite an efficient squad and could march well.
What about PT? I mean, you've been keen on that.
Yeah, very keen, yeah, that went okay. I would have liked to have been a PTI, actually, but being only 5'4½", it got certain disadvantages, and so although I was fairly proficient at it, I didn't reach the required standard, shall we say, for a physical training instructor.
What about weapons training? Weapons training?
Yeah, we did tests of elementary training, TOETs, on the rifle and the Bren gun, or
start
LMG.
With the rifle. How did they train you on the rifle? That would be the Lee Enfield. Something.
Yeah, it would be the Lee Enfield, yeah, Mark IV, I think.
What stages of training did you get on that?
Well, first of all, you learn how to handle your rifle, which was obviously arms drill and, you know, sort of general dexterity with a rifle, holding it out at arm's length, sideways, forwards, backwards, etc., and doing the usual drill movements, slope arms, present arms, stand at ease, etc., etc. And then we were taken out onto ranges and shown a target and asked to fire at it, and got the general idea probably before that we might have had our rifles roughly zeroed in by a zero sight, where a corporal would look down your 4½ sight, and then you would fire on the target, and they would adjust the foresight to give you the best grouping possible.
How did you take? Were you a good shot?
Not bad. Yeah, not bad. I could get about a 4-inch group in the bullet at 100 yards, you know. I mean, I wasn't exemplary. I mean, I wasn't a sniper, but I think I could upset anybody if I shot at him, like, you know.
And the other part of the rifle, a bayonet. Do you have any bayonet, specific bayonet training?
Yeah, normal bayonet training with the mock soldier hanging up on a gallows to be, you know, sacking, that sort of thing.
Did you see the point of the bayonet in action and sort of thing at the time?
Well, it always horrified me to think that I'd get that near the enemy that I would, have to stick him. It didn't really come to light, not at that time, not at the time of training. It got a little bit more closer to home later on in the
we'll come to that. So what about other weapons? The Bren.
Yeah, the LMG. Yeah.
And what sort of Bren training did you have?
Well, obviously how to strip it down, how to adjust a gas chamber. Anything in the advent of stoppages, how to get over a problem, stripping it down in the dark. That wasn't too bad, actually.
What was it like to fire on the range?
Pretty good. It's a good gun. Good gun. If anything, I would say in warfare it might be too accurate because you could put five shots through the same bloke.
You know. Can you just explain why that wasn't an advantage? I think I know, but...
Well, I think if you were in a tricky situation and there'd be, shall we say, a lot of Chinese coming for you, then you would certainly have to move your shoulder position to scatter your shots amongst a bunch of enemy. Because your Bren was so accurate that it wouldn't spread shot like other weapons.
Were you introduced to the Sten or the Sterling? I'm not sure which it was at that time. The submachine.
I think I was introduced to the Sten on my continuation training, but I don't think we had the Sten gun, not in the first in the elementary training.
What about hand grenades in
elementary? Yeah, we did do hand grenades. We used the plastic dummy grenades. We learnt to throw a Mills bomb, you know. Normal hand grenade, but it was in a safe situation. We never had any explosive grenades to throw, only the plastic practice grenades.
Were they still using the round arm?
But they were, yeah, still doing the round
cricket
arm, yeah.
Bowling.
Cricket bowling type of thing, yeah. Yeah.
But no live thing. Any other weapons? Were you introduced to the mortar or the heavy machine gun at all? At that time,
no.
So those are the only weapons you can think of?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
What other types of training did you do? Did you have any sort of tactical training, how to advance, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, we did field training and patrolling and all that sort of thing. We went to Friday Woods in Colchester, Finger and O Marshes to do live firing over between two markers over the marshes.
Well, tell us a bit more about the sort of tactical exercises you did. We're quite interested in those. If you remember,
in Friday Woods we had to do patrols and to try and contact the enemy. Obviously, there was probably two huts of men, perhaps even more. And they were split up into various groups and took up various positions. Some were the friendlies, some were the enemies. It depended on which side you were on, you know. And we used to go out on patrol and make contact with the enemy, as it were. And we were firing blanks and that sort of thing. We'd also be taught the art of concealment in sort of wooded areas and that sort of thing. And we'd also in odd places, we would do this house to house type warfare.
Street fighting.
Yeah. Although they weren't, shall I say, proper houses. They were just brick wall, shall I say, built in a haphazard fashion for the purpose of training.
What methods of street fighting were they, what were they trying to teach you about street fighting?
Well, fire and movement in, really. You know, not all of you rushing in at once, but working as a tactical team.
And what about the live firing exercise? Can you tell us a bit more about them, the ones you did down on the marshes?
Yeah, we got issued with live ammunition, and we were told to pick a target of our choice and fire it. I mean, really, looking over the marshes, there wasn't much to fire at. We had a chap in our platoon, he was called Farmer, he came from Yarmouth. And every platoon, like every village got this idiot. Every platoon or group of platoons had got theirs, and I wouldn't want to embarrass the chap, but I think he was a sandwich short of a picnic, really, you know.
How did it show? What was wrong with
him? Well, he was, when we were doing physical training, obviously, as well as tactical training, and his physical abilities weren't the greatest. So one of the corporals said to him, "You want to get some practice in on your running, you know." And he'd come in the hut at night, and he'd collapse on his bed and say, "Tonight I did 31 times round the football field, but tomorrow I'll do 32. And then he'd be spark out till the morning. You know, I mean, he really worked himself to death. But we were on this Finger No Marshes, and sergeant said, I think we had a fixed lines Bren gun firing over our heads. And we had to fire in the same direction. And the sergeant said, you know, crawl up this crawl trench and spread yourselves out, take up a firing position, fire at your own target. So, of course, we're all firing out to the marshes, you know. Farmer's at right angles on the left side, and he's going, bang, bang. And the sergeant says to him, he says, "What are you firing at, Farmer?" He says, "Side of that house over there," he said, and he was actually shooting at a farmhouse about, I don't think he was reaching it, but what his idea was. It was probably about 2 miles away, but yeah. And we did sort of tactical tactics with live ammunition, but not only in the magazine, but not nothing up spout, like, you know.
What about route marches, or cross-country runs, whichever?
Route marches, well, we used to do the 5 mile bash. That was always a pain to me because, not being very tall, it was always a job to keep up with a big lad, you know. We used to manage it, but it was hard going. We used to do, I think it was 5 miles in 50 minutes, and that is going some. Later on in the training, when we'd actually assigned to regiments, it got a bit harder than that, but I'll tell you about that a little later on.
And this is route marching, of course.
This is route marching.
Yeah,
we used to go to the ranges, there used to be enough lorries for, enough trucks for 36 men. And they'd probably not as much as that. 24 men, and we'd probably go on the ranges with something like 60 men. So the lucky ones would get on the lorries first, and they'd get taken to the ranges, and the rest of you'd start marching off. And then the lorries would come back and take the blokes in front, and then they'd come back again and pick up the stragglers behind. And then in theory. Is those who got on the lorry last got on first coming back, you know? But we'd probably do 8-10 miles before we got on the trucks, you know. And as I say, then we used to do these force marches, which were conducted by physical training instructors, and we would have small packs on and our rifles, boots, etc. And we would do this 5 miles in about 50 minutes.
Was it still basically having 10 minutes rest every hour? That was the old system.
That was the idea, yeah. We didn't, but see, this was just a 50-minute bash, a 5-mile bash, so that was under an hour, so you didn't get any rest. When later on in the training, where the distance increased, then we used to get stuff, you know, resting. Rest period.
Any other sorts of training during your elementary training, during a typical day?
Yeah, we'd do assault courses, you know, which used
all
to...
All the assault courses, because, you know, they've got quite sophisticated ones.
Well, they did, yeah. I don't think they were very sophisticated at the time, but, I mean, it's a typical sort of thing. You walk the plank across a muddy street, muddy pond, scale a wall, swing on a rope, run up nets, sort of cartwheel over a wall, you know, that sort of thing, and aided ascent of a wall where, you know, people would help you up over, that sort of thing.
Anything else? Typical day? Whatever?
No, not really.
So what would you do in the evening? You know.
Well, for the first 6 weeks, the main occupation in the evening, I mean, sometimes during the week you get an evening out pass, and we'd have a walk into Bury, and if we got enough money we might have a pint and a game of billiards at the Falcon.
You drank then? I don't mean when I say drank.
I used to like a pint, yeah. That was it, you know, obviously.
Was it the Falcon in particular, was that just the best?
No, the Falcon used to, yeah, or Falcon, whatever. That had got a snooker table. So, for the price of, you know, for the price of a couple of pints and a shilling between you know, you could have a game of snooker for half an hour, and that was about the extent of our excitement in the week, you know. Cup of tea and a naffy and that sort of thing.
You got the cinema?
Not really, no. There just wasn't the funds for cinemas, really.
What about the naffy canteen or the canteen?
Naffy canteen, yeah.
Any good, or what did that offer you?
It was a normal sort of naffy, tea and wads and sandwiches, dartboard, and there was beer there if you could afford it and that sort of thing. But I mean, there were regular soldiers on the base, on the camp, and they could afford it better than the normal sprog, like, you know.
Tell me about what you spent your pay on, because pay was a problem for you, obviously.
It was, yeah. Well, pay was a bit of a problem. I mean, we used to get £1.30 a week, I think it was. No, £1. Yeah, £1.10 it was then. £1 and a 10 bob note, that's it. Then you paid 6 months barrack room damages. Actually we had a window broken in our hut, and we were there for 6 weeks, and it never got mended, and I ventured forth and said, "Why don't you mend that window? We pay our barrack room damages." And okay, you're a bloody troublemaker. we were on parade, and they were sorting us out and telling us out stand at ease and stand easy and come to attention and right dress and all this sort of thing. And sergeant was coming down the line, and he says, "What's your name?" And of course I said, "Guess." And I mean, it might have been a coincidence, because I didn't say sergeant, but he got a little bit shirty about it. And he says, "Don't you take the piss out of me." He said, "Otherwise I'll have you down that guardhouse as fast, so your boots are set on fire," like, you know. And I said, "No, it's guest sergeant." "Ah, that's better." He realised his mistake, and it triggered his memory, obviously. But
we were on pay, so yeah. 6 months for barrack room damages.
6 months for barrack room damages, and I used to keep a pound, because I think it was a pound. I think it was nearly. It was a pound return to get home. I think it was. We used to get a coach. Used to come from the camp and take us to Paddington Station. And then we'd get a
Liverpool Street,
perhaps it was, yeah, Liverpool Street, it would be, yeah. We'd get a coach to go to Liverpool Street. And then we would go over to King's Cross St Pancras on the tube, and I would get a single on the train to Luton, and just have about enough coppers in my pocket to get the bus home. And then when I used to leave, that was on a 36-hour pass. And then when I used to go out the door, the old man used to slip me 10 bob, and Thelma used to slip me 5 bob or whatever she could afford, because we were courting then, like, you know. And that used to last me through the week.
So you spent most of your money then on going back home?
Really, yeah, going back home and you know, little treats in the week. Because I used to smoke, of course, I mean, but in the main, we rolled our own cigarettes as thinly as possible, and that... But that used to take money.
If you didn't go home, what would you spend the money on? Or would you just... Or did you always go home?
Well, no, not always. I mean, we during the first 6 weeks, we had various injections. We had one which was a TAB. And that was a particularly spiteful thing. And when you had a TAB, they would give you 36 hours excused duty. But they'd always give it you on a Saturday morning, so you were knackered until Monday, like, you know. So you wouldn't, you'd be confined to barracks, and you'd be excused duty. So, you know, you used to doss around in the hut and one thing or another, and of course your arm used to swell up, and it was very painful, and you didn't feel like doing much, but you've got to keep your arm going.
How did you get on with the other lads, the other recruits? You said they came from everywhere.
Yeah.
I presume they're from different backgrounds.
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
How did you get on with them all?
Pretty well, really. I think we all gelled. You had to. I mean, we were a mixed bunch. There's no doubt about that. But we were... We drilled together. We ate together. We slept together. And we became... Well, you know, like a big family, really, I suppose.
No bullying
then? No, not really. I don't think so, no. I don't recall any bullying. There was a couple of lads had a bit of a fracas when we were at Finger and O'Marshes, I believe. And there was a guy named Rist who came from Peterborough. And... another guy named Miles, who his father used to run a boxing booth at Fairground, and he fancies himself as a bit of a bruiser. Anyway, we were running through this crawl trench to get to this position, doing the training, bit of tactical training, and Rist trod on the back of Miles' boot. And there was a short interchange of words, you know. Anyway, shortly afterwards, this bloke, Miles, said to Rist, he said, "You want to be more careful," he said. He said, "Otherwise," he said, "you'll get a poke in the nose." So Rist said, "I don't think so," you know. Anyway, Miles drew his fist back to hit Rist, and Rist gave him a couple of short jabs with his left hand, and an uppercut with his right, and laid him flat on his back. Of course, Miles sort of sat there and shook his head. He said, "Christ," he said, "you've done a bit, haven't you?" So Rist said, "Yes," he said, "I was All England Army Cadet Championship champion in my weight at 15. So, you know, it didn't matter how hard you was, there was always somebody just that little bit harder.